The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Chairs No Waiting, episode number 644. Howard earned his spot. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers to pick up some of the great Mayberry items they have over there. They have Mayberry Finest food products. That's right. You can head over there and get some Mayberry's Finest. You can get bacon, all kinds of different stuff like coffee and jelly or jams. And you can also get some of Mayberry's Finest hamburger dill pickles. That's right. Just like Aunt Bea used to make. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 644 are Susan and Wynn Arnold. Susan and Wynn. So thank you very much for helping support the podcast, Susan and Wynn. And thank you for being here with me. Every week, I say this every week, it's so fun to get to visit with everybody and talk about the Andy Griffith Show and just Mayberry in general. And this is no exception. I was reading online and ran across this article in July about how Howard had to earn his spot. And we're talking about Howard Sprague, Jack Dotson, how you had to earn his spot. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do a little trivia, and then we'll hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History. So let's get right on into the story here, because this is a great story. I'm going to play a little bit of fun music in the background here. I think I'll do this one. And I want to thank the VW Boys for that music. Tim White, thank you for letting me do it. So we'll turn this down a little bit. So there was an article that ran in the Showbiz Cheat Sheet. Cheat Sheet, that's what it's called. And it's called The Andy Griffith Show Actor Who Had to, quote, earn his permanent spot on the comedy. It said, I didn't even have a parking space. So when I originally made the title of this, I said he had to earn his parking spot. Well, that was evidently right. But this is Jack Dotson. Now, you guys may remember Jack Dotson, Howard Sprague. So let's go along with this story. Now, this story, again, is out of the Showbiz Cheat Sheet. It'll be linked to in our podcast show notes for this episode. And you'll be able to go there and read the entire article for yourself. And it's written by Lou Haviland. And definitely something that's back from July 11th, 2021. So let's check this out. So it says, when the Andy Griffith Show debuted in 1960, the original cast was there to stay. Andy Griffith himself, Don Knotts as the deputy sheriff, Barney Fife, young Ronnie Howard as Opie Taylor, and Francis Bavier as Aunt Bea. In the show's post-Barney 5 years, those, you know, after the fifth season, one actor revealed that he had to fight for his spot on the show. In fact, he said he didn't even have a parking spot for quite a while and had to run out to feed the meter every so often for hours. He had to do that. Jack Dotson played Howard Sprague on The Andy Griffith Show, and he joined the show's cast in the sixth season in 1966. So it was the sixth season in 1966. The Andy Griffith Show was already running like a well-oiled machine by that point, and Dotson was brought on, presumably, to help fill the enormous hole that had been left when Don Knotts departed the show earlier that year. Now, of course, he was not going to fill Don's shoes, but when Don Knotts left, I am almost certain it would have taken multiple people to step up and really take on the roles and the parts that Don had played as just Barney himself. Jack Dawson joined the Andy Griffith Show as Howard Sprague, the mustached milk toast who lives with his mother. He was kind of developmentally stunted, like Barney had been. But Howard nonetheless possessed an ensemble of neuroses of his very own. So he had all these things. Remember his sinus problems, all kinds of stuff that Howard Sprague had. Now, granted, guys, I know Howard Sprague was in the color episodes. Some of you may not like him. Some of you do. I loved Howard. I think he's a fun character. And just like so many of the people on the Andy Griffith Show, I know people. I may be one of them. That's like Howard. So Howard always has had a soft spot. He was a good guy. He really worked hard to work for the community. I mean, he was a good man. Howard Sprague was timid with women and manly man. He was a little timid and felt most at home as his job as Mayberry's county clerk. Whereas Don had played Barney like he was about 9 or 10 years old, like he's a 9 or 10 year old boy. Jack Dodson drew upon his memories of basically himself as a gawky adolescent in creating Howard Sprague. He was the most entertaining character to enter Mayberry probably since Gomer, or Goober, because I guess Goober came after Gomer. Howard was, he just fit, in my opinion, into the Andy Griffith Show itself. He definitely seemed like somebody who would be from Mayberry. The actor was not handed an easy pass to get onto the Andy Griffith Show. When he joined the show, he had to prove that he was a keeper. You know, that they wanted to keep him around. Jack Dodson said, "In my first year of the show, I didn't even have a parking space." It was the number one show on television, number one show on the air, and I had to go out every 2 hours and put money in the meter, in the parking meter. See, that sounds like an episode of the Andy Griffith Show where Howard, he's got a job at the courthouse there in the Mayberry, as a county clerk, and he's having to go out and feed the meter every 2 hours because he's not got a parking spot. That just sounds... Man, that sounds like something that should have been on the show. Howard won the hearts of Mayberry devotees with his November 1966 episode, Big Fish in a Small Town. That's one of the strongest stories of the Andy Griffith Show's final years. With both Barney and Gomer gone, Jack Dodson helped Andy Griffith Show writers create conflicts for Andy. He was one of the guys. He was not the only one. Goober did a pretty good job. Emmett, several of them did a good job. But they needed those conflicts for Andy to have to solve. And there's definitely that Howard was able to create the conflicts. But if you think about it, Howard was actually, in some episodes at least, the most... I hate to say it like this, the most like Andy, as far as Andy was the completely normal straight guy. There were a lot of times when Howard also was a straight, he was the straight guy almost. He looked at things that Goober and Emmett, so those other guys did, and would be shaking his head, kind of like Andy did at times. And then other times Howard is just like clueless. And did stuff. It was just amazing. Guys, you've got to watch the color episodes. Turn the black and white on. Just take a color out of your TV and watch them. But they're great things. Once the Andy Griffith Show ended in 1968 and morphed into the new series, Mayberry RFD, Jack Dodson, as well as co-stars George Lindsay and Francis Bavier, made a career of the series, remaining as regulars more or less until its cancellation in 1971. Francis left a little earlier, but George and Howard, or George and Jack Dodson, were both there. Andy Griffith himself made an odd appearance on the show from time to time, but it was not reportedly that crazy about it. He was ready to walk away. Don Knotts' son, Tom, said the Matlock star was unhappy about how the spinoff turned out. That Andy didn't like it as much, according to Tom Knotts. Because I don't know. I've never heard that. But I thought it turned out pretty well. I mean, it wasn't too bad. But they did do a lot of storylines on Mayberry IFD that were very similar to some of the Andy Griffith Show storylines. Andy grumbled about the new Mayberry. We saw a lot of him during that period, Tom Knotts recalled. And I remember him talking about how much he just didn't like the show. He didn't like it, according to Tom. So that's basically the article, going back talking about Andy and Howard Sprague. Now, I've never heard that Andy didn't like the show. I never did hear that before, that he didn't like the Mayberry RFD. To me, that seems kind of counterintuitive, because Andy was making money off of it, because Andy was one of the executive producers, so he owned it. Just like he did the Andy Griffith Show, I assume. So he was probably doing okay with that show. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't get a lot into that show. And maybe that's why he didn't like it. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, Jack Dodson was amazing. If you guys haven't seen or listened to it, I think it was episode number 185 I did about Jack Dodson. And then there's another one that I did later on about Jack as well. So definitely go and watch the podcast, and you'll hear, if you're watching the video version of this, you're seeing some pictures of Jack Dodson from when he was actually in the Army. And we tell those stories in some of those episodes, so you can go back and check them out. I'll do my best to put a link in the show notes about them so that you can find them. But it's episodes number 158. I don't know what I said, but 158, it's called Jack Dodson. And episode number 479, The History of Jack Dodson. So you might want to go and check those out, because I think you'll enjoy those and find out about some of his military time and other things that Howard Sprague himself did back in those times. So I'll have a link to it in our show notes. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed hearing about just Howard didn't even have a parking spot, the poor guy. I just thought that was absolutely great. All right, so let's get ready for some trivia now. So let's do our trivia music. There we go. So get out your pens and paper. Let's play Mayberry Trivia. Mayberry Trivia. Let's see how I'm going to try to watch the chat room. They're live right now. We'll see how they do. Question number one. This is a true or false question. And these are actually coming out of the Andy Griffith Show trivia game. This is where these are coming from. But you can go and check out the same questions pretty much in Scott Hopkins' book, Mayberry Trivia, that you'll find at Weaver's. Question number one, Barney took voice lessons. True or false? Barney took voice lessons. True or false? True or false? Barney took voice lessons. The answer is true. So give yourself a point if you said true. You don't get anything for the points. It's just pride. All right. Number two. Oh, this is a good one. From the street. Okay, so you got to listen to the question good. From the street, which courthouse door had a mail slot? So standing looking at the doors from the street, which courthouse door had the mail slot? Slot where the mailman slide the paper or slide the mail through. Looking from the street, which courthouse door had the mail slot? Ooh, this is a good one. So if you don't want to know the answer, you can pause it, but the answer is the one on the right. The door on the right has the mail slot in it. Oh, that was a good question. 50-50 chance, but I don't know if I'd have gotten that one. All right, so this one's going to be easy. So everybody get ready with a finger on the buzzer. Who was Barney's voice teacher? Back when he used to take voice. Who was Barney's voice teacher? Here we go. The answer. Who was Barney's voice teacher? Come on. You get it? The answer is Eleonora Poultis. Eleonora Poultis. Back when he used to take voice. Yeah, that's what my voice teacher always told me. Back when I took voice. Yeah, star without it. A choir without its tenor is like a star without its glimmer. I love it. Okay, this is a multiple choice. And no, I'm not even going to give you multiple choice. You just got to give me the answer. Who toured the United States on his bicycle? Who toured the United States on his bicycle? Now, this is a little hard. Who toured the United States on his bicycle? You should know his name. If you don't, you're getting close. The answer is Malcolm Meriwether. Englister did it. All right, Malcolm, that was four. That was number four. Number five, true or false? Oh, here we go. True or false? Okay, get your fingers on the trigger again on this one, on the buzzer, because this one's going to be quick. True or false? There is one cell in the courthouse. True or false? There is one cell in the courthouse. Okay. All right. There's one cell in the courthouse. The answer is that's false. Come on. You had to know that. You got cell number one and cell number two. There's no writing on the wall. Okay. All right, number six. Okay, so we knew about the mail slot. So what two signs are on the front door of the courthouse? I'm not asking which side they're on. Just what two signs are on the front doors of the courthouse? Or on the doors? What signs? What two signs are on the courthouse doors? If I read it that way, does that help? The answer is... Come on, can you get it? What two signs are on the courthouse doors? The answer is Sheriff and Justice of the Peace. The one says Sheriff and one says Justice of the Peace. Those of you watching the podcast, look right above my head. I have those signs made by Brian Rose, our buddy, right above my head. Sheriff and Justice of the Peace. So if you missed it and you're watching the video version, come on. Okay. Next answer. I did a good job not telling that before I gave everybody a chance to answer this. All right. What did Goober do with an imaginary needle? This one's a little hard because the question's kind of hard. What did Goober do with an imaginary needle? Goober Pyle. What did Goober Pyle, what did he do with an imaginary needle? That's right. I see it in the chat room. People are getting it. He sewed his fingers together. You know, he'd go, and then I can't do it. He sewed his fingers together. Good job. All right. Number eight. Who lost his voice on the day of the choral? Choral? What's that word? Of the big choir performance. Who lost his voice on the day of the big choir performance? Was it Barney, Gomer, Andy, or Otis? Who lost his voice? It was, the answer is, who lost his voice on the big, you know, he claimed he got antifreeze on him or something like that, didn't he? And it was Gomer Pyle. He claimed he lost it, so Barney was singing. Yeah, Barney was saying. All right, two more questions. We'll just round them out with 10. All right. this is too easy. Who ticketed the governor's car? Who gave the governor's car a ticket? Who gave the governor's car a ticket? You could just guess this, couldn't you? It was Barney. I'm not even giving you a lot of time on that one. Barney gave the governor a ticket. The governor's coming here. Bless his heart. All right. Last question. Okay. This is a good one for a last question. There's three answers, right? You got to give all three. What three impressions did Goober do? What three impressions did Goober do? Come on, you can do this one. You got to give all three, though. What three impressions did Goober do? I can't do it. I ought to do it. You got to close your eyes for this one. All right. Close your eyes for this. Judy. He did Cary Grant. He walked like Chester. And then he goes, all right, you guys, beat you guys. All right, you guys, come on, you guys, beat it, you guys. Ever G. Robinson. You keep your eyes open for that one. So it's Cary Grant, Chester from Gunsmoke, and Edward G. Robinson. All right. So how'd you do? That was 10 questions. I hope everybody had fun playing it. And if not, that at least you got some smiles and enjoyed yourself hearing the questions read and thinking about those particular episodes. It might make you want to go back and check out the episodes this evening or whenever you're listening to this and just have some fun. So now let's go hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Gene Hagen was born on August the 3rd, 1923. In the episode of the Andy Griffith Show titled Andy and the Woman Speeder, Gene played Elizabeth Crowley, a woman caught speeding through Mayberry, who used bribery and flattery to convince all of Sheriff Taylor's witnesses into supporting her position. Gene's film debut was a supporting role in the 1949 film Adam's Rib, and her first starring role was in 1950's The Asphalt Jungle. But in film, Gene is unquestionably best remembered for playing the vain, talentless, and shallow silent film star Lena Lamont in the 1952 musical Singin' in the Rain, for which she received an Academy Award nomination. In 1953, Gene was cast in the new sitcom Make Room for Daddy. The show starred Danny Thomas as the successful nightclub entertainer Danny Williams, with Gene playing his wife Margaret. The show was produced by Sheldon Leonard, who would later also produce The Andy Griffith Show. Make Room for Daddy had high enough ratings to survive, but was never a top 30 show. Certainly one of the show's bright spots was that Gene was nominated for Emmy Awards for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series every year for the first three seasons. Off camera, Danny and Gene often argued, which contributed to Gene feeling dissatisfied with the role. After the third season, she announced she would not be returning to the show. This obviously put star Danny and producer Sheldon in a difficult position. To explain that the characters had divorced would not have been accepted with the prevailing social norms of that time. Their solution was to kill off the character, a first in television sitcom history. When the fourth season began, the show had been retitled The Danny Thomas Show, and viewers learned that the character of Margaret Williams was dead. Throughout the fourth season, the storylines dealt with Danny Williams trying to be a single father, until it was decided that a new wife and mother was needed. So at the end of the season, Danny met a young widow nurse named Kathy. Danny and Kathy quickly fell in love, and in the season finale were engaged, at which point ABC promptly canceled the series. Instead of spelling the end of the series that had never fared well in the ratings, the cancellation proved fortuitous. That same year was the last for the top-rated I Love Lucy. When CBS learned the Danny Thomas Show had been canceled, they picked it up and aired it in I Love Lucy's old time slot. By the end of the season, the show, which had never cracked the top 30, was ranked number 2 in the Nielsen ratings. Thankfully for Mayberry fans, the show had finally found success, since, as we know, a later episode of the show served as the pilot for the Andy Griffith Show. Sadly, Jean's health began to decline in the 1960s. She made a bit of a comeback in 1976 to play character roles in several television episodes and shows such as Starsky and Hutch. But she passed away in 1977 after battling esophageal cancer for 3 years. She was only 54. But Jean's work lives on. Her three best-remembered film roles were in Adam's Rib, The Asphalt Jungle, and Singin' in the Rain. All three have been placed in the National Film Registry for preservation as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant films. She received a Hollywood Star on the Walk of Fame in 1960 for her contributions to television, in large part based on her performance as Margaret Williams in Make Room for Daddy. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. As always, Randy comes up with some amazing stuff. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun Mayberry stuff Randy's doing online and in other places, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he will make sure you don't miss out on anything like his Ambassador magazine that he puts out, and also a brand new book he's got coming out pretty soon called The Mayberry Travel Guide. I'm assuming Weavers will probably have, but it's The Mayberry Travel Guide by Randy Turner. Yes, I think Mrs. Weaver yelled in the background. So, thank you, Randy. He's working very hard to get that book out right now. So this is August of 2021. And so he's getting that out right now. So if you're hearing it later than this, the book will be out sometime at the end of this month. So Randy, thank you. I want to thank all of you that show up here for the live version of the podcast. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can join us on Monday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Monday nights at live.2chairsnowaiting.com and be a part of the chat room that I've been reading the answers that they gave to the trivia questions. And you can join in and just enjoy each other's company. There's about 30, 40, 50 people in there any given night. And it's a lot of fun. So we're going to probably have some scheduling conflicts coming up in the next month or so in September because of the Mayberry Man movie. That's right. Mayberry Man will be finally starting to release and come out to the public. So it'll be coming out in for people that have supported the movie. We'll get a VIP premiere on the 4th of September in Danville, Indiana. And then there's going to be another one in LA on the 13th of September. And then the Wednesday of Mayberry Days, it'll be in Mount Airy, North Carolina for a VIP showing. The movie will be released to theaters. I believe the date is the 21st of October is when it's going to start being shown. So that's coming up and I'll be at some of those events. So those are, some of them are during the Mondays. So it may impact us, but we will have a show, but it just won't be live. Okay. So we got live. So Mayberry Days is coming up. Definitely start making your plans to be there. It's going to be very hard to get a hotel room if you haven't already. So go and check that out. Go to MayberryDays.com and you can get all the information about Mayberry Days there. All right, guys, that's all I've got. I want to thank the patrons for the podcast. I want to thank Susan and Wynn for helping support the show. If you'd like to be a patron, you can donate $1, $5, whatever you want. You can do monthly. You can do an episode. You can choose how much you want to do. But it's very helpful to me. And one of these days, I'm going to retire from my real job, and then I'm going to need help paying for all these things. So I want to thank everybody that has already been helping me. I appreciate what you do. It is so good to just know that folks enjoy, even after 640 plus episodes, that you guys are still enjoying the podcast. You know, I would love to hear from you. Give me a call at 888-684-8684. Now, what have I gone blank? I'm going to have to read the number. It's 888-684-8415. Or you can give me an email. You can send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com. Or just drop by 2chairsnowaiting.com and leave a message. I'd love to hear from you. thanks again for everybody that helps support the show and gives donations towards keeping the show running. I really do appreciate it. It helped. I was able to buy a new projector for some of the help that I've gotten from the Mayberry Meetup folks, so that we can watch the episodes during the meetup. So it's been a lot of good. Whoop, the time's getting out. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.